For this morning's scripture reading, I'll be reading from Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom; out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler for them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and perceiveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path.
Thank you, Cody. He was talking a couple years or 5 years. And I was looking at mine at 25, and that's what really set this off, because I did a little math, and I've been in the workforce now for 24 years. Now, that didn't seem like I've been working that long, but that's a while. that's over half my life. So being in the workplace, you find some things out. As you get to meet people, you get to walk about, and you meet all kinds of people. Some good, some bad. But in those, in talking to people and working with people, you find out two things: that everybody loves credit. Okay, credit can be, and I'm not talking about credit like with a little plastic card. I mean like credit when it's given. Credit like the young men that do a great job reading. Credit when we say we have a good song leader. Credit when we have, you know, a great Lord's table. Everybody likes to receive credit when it doesn't take the form of blame. When it takes the form of blame, suddenly people are diving out of the way to get out of there. Just can't wait to run away from blame. So we spend our lives trying to stay away from blame. But in doing that, we are running away from a little bit of fault. Now, as I have kids to raise and as I'm taking them along, it's important to me that if something goes wrong, or I have one that comes in crying, that when the one that's getting blamed is responsible, they come in and tell me what's happening. And I expect the truth. It's always worse when you don't get the truth. Jake kicked me. Heard that one a ton of times. She hit me again on the head, Dad. All right, so as my children are over here, two of my children are over here sitting at a bench and one is smiling, one of them knows for certain that I should always be given the truth when I ask what happened. Because I'm going to find out the other way if it's wrong. And all this sweetness that you see in front of you sometimes comes to a head when I'm dealing with them. And that goes out the window. So, it's very important in my family that I get the truth. Part of that truth is something that we carry every day. Every single day. And that's admitting sin. We are humans, and we are on this earth in a position to where we strive to go visit God. And we strive for that, and we work for that because of a position of sin. Sin brought us in and gave us these things. Part of admitting your sin is simply saying, I did it. All right? If sin has happened to you, if a sin has been committed against you, that is different than you committing a sin against someone else or against God. If it's a sin you have committed against God, it is you that did it. It's not someone else's fault. You know, because the guy drove you to the bar, he didn't get you drunk and put you behind the wheel. All right? Someone is to blame, and it is the person that you see in the mirror. It's very important to own up to that. I have said many times that I am not perfect. I am a long ways from perfect. But my goal is to strive to get better every day. And that doesn't make excuses for the stupid things I do during the day that are sins. That's simply to say that I know better, and because I know better, I need to strive to get better at that. When you ask for forgiveness, and this was on my last talk, when you ask for forgiveness, you need to ask for forgiveness of that sin. And you need to ask everyone involved, if you did it publicly, that you're forgiven of that sin. Okay? Or you need to deal with the person that either you sinned against, or pray to God and ask Him for that forgiveness yourself. Very simple step. The other thing is to let others be forgiven. Once somebody has come to you and asked for forgiveness, you need to walk up to them and forgive them. We're commanded to do so. And if they are truly repentant when they come to you and they ask you for forgiveness, forgive them. It's not easy. It certainly is not. But forgive them. And continue to pray for their souls in silence. It does not have to be forgotten, because it needs to be prayed about, and you need to hold these people in your heart dear to you, so that if they have asked you for forgiveness, you can continue to pray for them that they may never have that trouble again. And that needs to be a prayer between you and God in their part. I can tell you that there are a few people that come up each day in my prayers that I continue to pray for, and that needs to happen. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if a brother trespass against thee, go and tell him above if he hears you, and you have gained a brother. Or go and tell him alone, excuse me. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. Go tell them in quiet. It doesn't always have to be a public thing where he said, you know, you upset me. Take him aside, take him to a room, take him for coffee, do whatever you need to do. But tell him. Don't just let it dwell in you and get all built up to where it's something more than it needs to be. Get it out. Everybody in here, you know, We're a family here. Families need to deal with each other up front. Walk up to them. Take them aside. It's not the end of the world. Tell them. If God cares for us, how come we aren't immediately forgiven? Yeah? If you're baptized, why can't we just be forgiven immediately? Why do we have to ask? If we were immediately forgiven everything, what reason would there be not to sin? What reason would there be not to sin? It's not something that, you know, at times, it, you know, maybe is a pleasurable thing or not. If there was no reason to ask for forgiveness, where would faith come in? You can just do what you want. Ah, I'm forgiven. Life is good. It's not the way we approach it. When you are baptized and buried beneath these waters back behind me, and you come up, you are washed of sin. And you're given the ability to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness right up front. We had that ability to be free of sin in the very beginning, didn't we? We once had it. Sin was introduced in the world, and now we have to ask for forgiveness. We have a lot of things we need to do before we see Christ's face. And all those things combined lead us down that path. Romans 9:19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? There's one person that came to us fault-free. One person that came to us fault-free, and we crucified him. Matthew 23:14. Said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things of which ye accuse him. So in that, in one simple act, we were saved. Saved by the grace of a man who was completely free of fault. Completely innocent. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless children of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, this was written a long time ago. Does this still apply, this very verse? in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. As Christians, we are given that blessing. That blessing of the ability to ask for forgiveness and be free of fault for a time. Until the next time we do it. That is something that should, if nothing else, give you a little bit of relief and joy in your life. Coming here on Sunday mornings, on Wednesdays on Sunday nights, to sing in a place where no one's going to critique it, to know that what comes out of your mouth, if it's intent and sincere, is beautiful music. Now to me, who doesn't think he sings very well, that is fantastic. Alright? I like the fact that I can sing. Poor Dave and Joyce every Sunday. I see Dave sometimes he has to step forward because I know it's doing him in. But he never says a thing. And he smiles after we leave church and still shakes my hand for that. I always appreciate it. But for that, we are given that ability to sing, to praise God, and to be given that gift. We all seek to be in favor, don't we? We really do. We seek for approval as adults, as children, as humans, as husbands, as wives, as sons, as daughters. I will tell you to this very day, I'm a 40-year-old man with a 70-year-old father, and I worry that I am doing things to make him proud of me to this very day. And it's not because he has never told me. It's that I don't want to let him down. If you approach your heavenly Father in the same manner, what a great life you're going to live. One simple step. Our parents are family. I just said my dad. You know, I don't want to disappoint my mom either. She's not here. But I don't want to disappoint her either. But we search for that. Okay? There is no limit or no end to us seeking favor in the eyes of those we love here on earth. Should there be a limit on where we go to face God? There really shouldn't. You should continue to work, to strive, to look for a way to find approval. And want it. I think it was Dean Hayes that said, if you're not happy praising God here, how are you going to be happy there? Because you're given that. To praise God here is the directive that takes you up to heaven where that's what you'll do. And for those that have left this congregation and gone on, what a blessing that is. You know, at a great Lord's table today. And I think of that every time we go through. It's how every week the Lord's table is something fresh and something that brings you in. And that means a lot to me. Luke 1:28, we also receive God's blessings. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now Mary, mother of Jesus, is an extreme example of Christ's favor, of God's favor. What a thing it must be to be the mother, to have been the mother of Christ here on earth. And imagine what the thoughts were when this was given her. Did she stop seeking the favor of God, even though she was given this gift? No. She continued on. Continued on seeking it. She was giving birth to the Son of God here on earth, and she continued to seek the favor of the Lord in heaven. Why do we quit here on earth? Why do you quit? Why do you quit? Why do you give up seeking God's favor? I want to give you an example in 1:7. Proverbs 1:7, sorry. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There is no reason to give up on God. There are things that happen to us here that cannot be described. There are things that happen in life that cannot be described. Things taken away. The death of ones we love. The death of children. Those are some of the most horrific things to me that I can say out loud. I don't understand that. But you know, to see someone that's strong in faith come forward after losing a child and still be present, that's a big step. And that's the example that God gives us, because those people are strong in heart and they're hurting, but they are strong in heart, and they are still attending, and they are here. And there are people who have gone through this that, you know, and God bless you, because I don't know how I would approach that. And my true hope is that the Lord takes me first, because I don't know what I do. For that, we have strength. You are given strength. These people give us strength. These are people in the congregation, the people that are here today that are part of us, that lend strength to the whole. People that build us up. We meet together. Every time we meet that the church comes together, we meet together for that strength. To be uplifted, to be brought together. Not just to test your singing voice, but to be brought together. In Acts 2, 43 and 44, and every fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. These people all came together and were blessed as one and shared together. Now I'm going to go back a little bit. Do we need to repent for sin to be forgiven? Yeah. We need to repent. Repent ye and be baptized. That's a verse that a lot of us know. A lot of us, and obviously that if something I can repeat is an important one. Repent ye and be baptized. But you must repent. You must come forth before a group of us or before those that care and repent of your sins. To be forgiven, and I do believe this individually, you must go to the individual. If you feel you've wronged somebody, you must go to the individual and you must ask their forgiveness personally. And for anyone involved, I think you do that. And I think if and when you come forward to the church, if you have that things that need to be addressed, that is a huge step and one of the hardest I can even imagine taking. Psalms 38, 18, 21, and 22. I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord of salvation. We all seek the favor of God. While we may have been at fault, we have then come through to repent, to be baptized, and to ask the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that once you forgive somebody, you're required to pray for their soul and to pray for those people so that that sin may not happen again. And that is a prayer that should happen within you, and it should happen every day. Pray to the Lord God that He give them strength for that to come along. Do not place yourself above those who sin. We are all sinners, and this body will pass from us all. The only thing that we in this room have is the fact that as this body passes away, the soul can live on. And we have the opportunity to be with Christ. You are the same flesh as everyone else, not only in this room, but in this entire world. What we are here to do is to bring people to the light, not drive them from it. When you have the opportunity to forgive, and it is a truly repentant soul, forgive. Take them by the hand, forgive them, pray together. I was at a wedding a month ago, and the gentleman that was conducting the service said, you know, as he went through the cord, the threefold cord, being stronger than the single cord, that binds us all, and that's a husband and wife with God. He also said that as a husband and wife, let yourselves pray. Let yourselves pray together. Let each other hear your prayers. Share with the one that you care for. Have your children hear you pray. There is nothing as important as letting those you love pray with you and hear you pray. Because they know you do it. They know it's sincere, and it teaches them to be one with God. Also ask that as we go through this, remember that we are sinners. And that as we go out in the world, we're to be the light in that world. We're to be those that are shined upon. go forward and take people's hand and walk them along. People need guidance. John 8:7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto thee, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. There is one unforgivable sin. Otherwise, each sin is equal. While in the mind of a human, that is hard to comprehend. Sin is equal. Be able to forgive. Be able to forgive. At the end of each service, we offer a gospel invitation for you to come forward and be part of this congregation, for you to give forth something up to the congregation that we can help you with. Please come forward. If you need to find an elder, please wait around and find an elder. But come forward and release yourself of that sin. Please stand as we sing the last hymn.